For my daughters, Remy and Meg, great debaters. Public sentiment is everything. He who molds public sentiment is greater than he who makes statutes. Abraham Lincoln, at the first debate with Stephen A. Douglas, Ottawa, Illinois, August 21, 1858. Preface to the Fordham University Press edition. 10 years ago, the initial appearance of this book unexpectedly set off a small firestorm in the Lincoln scholarly community. Of course, it was nothing like the mammoth explosion of interest that greeted the original Lincoln-Douglas debates. Back in 1858, the debates not only riveted the eyewitnesses who packed town squares and fairgrounds to hear them in Illinois, but also captured the attention of readers around the country who devoured every word in newspaper reprints. Those very newspaper reprints had provided the inspiration for the 1993 book, as much for what they did not contain as what they did. In the age of Abraham Lincoln and Stephen A. Douglas, Republicans read Republican-affiliated newspapers, which featured debate transcripts recorded by Republican-hired stenographers, who spent far more time polishing Lincoln's words than Douglas's. Democrats, similarly, read pro-Democratic journals that offered well-prepared versions of the Democratic candidate's speeches and but the roughest versions of his opponents. The purpose of my book was to rescue the long-ignored and likely unimproved reverse transcriptions of the debates, those which each party hireling had made of the opposition speaker, and therefore try to come as close as possible to the unedited and immediate truth of the most famous debates in American history. The debates had been republished many times since 1858. But following Lincoln's lead in preparing for their initial appearance in book form in 1860, they had always featured Republican-sanctioned transcripts of Lincoln's remarks and Democratic versions of Douglas's. Never before had anyone bothered to consult, much less publish, the opposition transcripts, the Republican-commissioned stenographic records of Democrat Douglas's speeches and rebuttals, and in turn, the Democratic Party commissioned transcriptions of what Republican Lincoln said. Instead, for more than a century, readers had come to rely on and unquestionably accept the suspiciously well-parsed official transcriptions, undoubtedly edited further by the party press before their final publication, in an era in which newspapers were unashamedly allied with and biased toward one political party or another. So much so, in fact, that Frank Leslie's Illustrated newspaper warned, 2 years before the Lincoln-Douglas debates got underway, that partisanship among the major publications sometimes exceeded that of their own readers. The bitterness of partisanship, Leslie's declared in 1856, and the indulgences of sectional feelings are more rife in newspapers than in the feelings of the voters. Considering that such an atmosphere prevailed in 1858, I always wondered why historians had trusted the sanitized, party-made debate records for so long. Historian Douglas L. Wilson, in one sense, agreed, commenting about my original 1993 book, "In making these opposition texts available, Holzer performed a rare feat in Lincoln studies, bringing to light for the first time documents of great interest and importance that shed real light on the Lincoln-Douglas debates." But Wilson was troubled by what he called my glaringly circular argument for their truthfulness, contending that the result put modern readers in the awkward position of trusting extremely partisan newspapers without strong and compelling reasons for doing so. But this was precisely the point for publishing the reverse transcripts, and remains the argument for reissuing this book a decade later. We had too long trusted the accepted texts and transcriptions